Welcome to the Storage Switzerland Weekly Storage Wrap, where we talk about all the storage news of the week, update you on our latest briefings, and let you know where you can find Storage Switzerland next. Joining me in the studio today, Colm Keegan. Hello, Colm.
Hey, Charlie. How you doing?
Eric Slack.
Hey, Charlie.
And George Crump.
Hi, Charlie. How you doing?
George, you were on the road this week in St. Louis and New York City. What was going on there?
Well, I tried to get to a couple of baseball games, but apparently I needed to do a data protection seminar instead.
And at the data protection seminar, you talked about what?
Well, it's a three-hour workshop that we're doing in conjunction with TechTarget. We go really in detail, and what we've designed is a system by which people can be successful with their data protection objectives, and applying this system so that they can really start to see some success in the process. And it does a couple of things. It helps you incorporate new data protection technologies as they come out, leverage existing technologies better. And, you know, if you follow the system well, we're having people get promoted as a direct result of using it.
You're going to be in San Francisco for your next TechTarget event. Where can people get tickets?
They can just go to searchstores.com and search for the Data Protection Workshop, and all the information will be there. It's going to be on August 12th from 9 a.m. till 2 p.m.
Let's kick things off with some discussion on the big storage news of the week. Actually, a couple weeks ago, SanDisk buys Fusion.io. George, let's start with you. On the surface, this seems to make no sense. SanDisk, basically an OEM and component manufacturer, where Fusion.io clearly sells direct to the end user. But George, you wrote a recent analysis on the acquisition, and you think this makes a lot of sense. Why?
I think that we're starting to see, and this is not the first incident of this. We saw HGST do this last year when they bought Veradent. We're starting to see guys that we would normally consider parts manufacturers, you know, guys that make disk drives and flash drives, and even, you know, in SanDisk's case, flash NAND, and really start to move up market. My belief is this is being driven by the move to the cloud. As we get these huge data centers, are able to buy in volume that it used to have to require an OEM like an EMC or a NetApp or an HP to do. Well, these guys can buy almost the same volume as those guys can now, and that gets the attention of SanDisk and other people. So I think this makes a lot of sense. This gives them a path into the enterprise. Fusion.io clearly has been very successful in the cloud type of market. You know, rumors are that they supplied Apple and Facebook a lot of flash. None that's verified. You know, so they've had some inroads already into that market, and I think it's a natural fit for SanDisk.
Eric, you work a lot with SanDisk. What are they thinking?
I think the wisdom of an acquisition is often viewed in terms of how well the two companies' technologies or products fit with each other. While I think there's some merit to that rationale, I don't think it's the only consideration. You know, I'd like to use a sports analogy from, where teams are evaluating players to draft. Good teams are moving to the rationale that says they value on based on athletic ability and potential of a draft pick over whether they just need a player in that specific position. You know, kind of to use that analogy with Fusion.io, I think they're a really good athlete. I mean, they've got, regardless of their fit with SanDisk, I think there certainly is some fit there. But, I think they've got strong technology, especially with the next-gen combination, which is their flash appliance that Fusion bought. I think they've got a portfolio of good products, and I think it's a really good value for SanDisk.
Colm.
Well, I know that SanDisk also has some sort of flash acceleration software that somewhat sits above the hardware stack and allows you to accelerate workloads on the server side, so they can certainly bring that to bear to the existing, you know, Fusion.io customer base. But then, as George alluded to in his article, that, you know, now they're a completely vertically integrated company, so their cost model should be very attractive going forward, because they pretty much own the entire technology stack end to end. So that should be attractive, particularly to companies in the large enterprise space.
And a little bit before this acquisition, Oracle bought Greenbytes. George, some background on that, please.
Greenbytes was kind of an interesting company. They sort of kept reinventing themselves. I think that, you know, as analysts, we've sort of learned that the first time we talk with a startup, what they say they're going to be a lot of times isn't what they're going to be the second or third time we start talking to them. And I think that's the case with Greenbytes. They started off as a NAS alternative that had, they claimed, really good deduplication and compression built in. Then they kind of started to change their focus into VDI acceleration, which was interesting. At the core, though, and this is where I think the Oracle acquisition probably makes the most sense, Greenbytes ran on ZFS, which is Oracle's baby. The one weakness of ZFS, or maybe a big weakness of ZFS, is its ability to do deduplication and compression. They have it as a feature. It's just not very good. If you kind of look at that, then now what they get with Greenbytes is really good deduplication and compression that was built from scratch to run on ZFS. So I think it, you know, in that standpoint, it probably makes a really good deal. And from an Oracle standpoint, the economics were probably minor.
Okay, moving on. We recently had a lot of briefings on the Storage Swiss briefing calendar, including Datto, EMC, and OCZ. Let's run through them. Colm, you were actually at Datto, so let's start there. What do they do, and what makes them different?
Datto's one of those companies that initially, you know, I thought this was just going to be another one of those, you know, Me Too players in the backup appliance space. But, you know, what turned out, it actually was one of the more interesting backup briefings we've had. What they do, Datto is a cloud-integrated backup appliance that's sold primarily to the service provider community for use in small to medium-sized businesses. So Datto offers both a backup appliance that goes into an SMB data center, and then they have their own cloud data centers that the backup data can be replicated to. As you might expect, you know, the appliance backs up and duplicates data, but that's not really the interesting part here. What's really interesting is that they claim to have the ability to guarantee the recovery of a failed production application in under 6 seconds. And even more impressively, they can do this while providing flash performance speeds. So in other words, what you have here is an appliance that does deduplicated backup that can replicate into the cloud, then also has the ability to do recovery in place that is backed essentially by a performance SLA. You know, George and I actually produced a lot of content this past year about what's missing in recovery in place architectures. And frankly, Datto seems to be one of the few out there that directly address the main challenge with recovery in place architectures, and that's the lack of performance.
George, let's start with you. Your thoughts.
I think the other thing is that they offer recovery in cloud, which is something that people are interested about as well. And I think we've kind of termed it disaster recovery as a service. And this comes up actually in the workshops that we were talking about at the beginning. And people ask about it. And my general recommendation is I like them. You got to make sure the math works out for you. But my typical concern is once you recover in the cloud, your relationship with that provider has changed from a guy you do backups to a guy that's hosting your compute infrastructure. Most of these guys are backup guys, not compute guys. One of the things that impressed me with Datto is they also seem to have the compute side pretty well nailed down, and they were prepared to offer very good performance when you did that actual recovery in place. So the application that's being recovered would now execute at an appreciable speed. So that was the key thing that I took away from the briefing.
Eric?
I think one of the more interesting case studies they talked about was they were completely recovered a high-frequency trading firm during Superstorm Sandy with more than 30 systems in under 30 minutes. I think they're really providing the type of near instantaneous application recovery that in the past only really large companies could afford.
Next, EMC and their Protect Point product. What does that do, and what do you think? George, your impressions.
Basically, what this product does is offer sort of the nirvana of backup, where data moves directly from primary storage to protection storage, right? In the normal backup process, we have to pull data off of primary storage, load it up into an application server, transfer it over to a backup server, and then put it into the protection storage device. The more hops you make or the more links you make, the more pieces you have involved in the process, number one, that's more things that can break, and number two, it causes performance issues. What Protect Point does, which is very interesting, is it has the application server sort of initiate the initial command to start backing up, and then it backs up directly from the primary storage system to the backup system. You know, we talked about this 12 years ago We used to call it serverless backup. It never went anywhere because it was like really hard, really expensive, and just didn't work real well. If EMC can pull this off, there's going to be a whole bunch of customers that are very interested in this type of solution.
Colm, your thoughts?
I think George did a pretty good job summing it up, but again, this is something that the idea has been on a whiteboard for a long time, never really went anywhere. But people in the enterprise space really had been requesting it for a while, because as you scale your environment, you also have to scale all this other ancillary backup infrastructure. You know, it's backup servers. Now we got servers that are virtualized that have to be backed up, and you need some sort of virtual proxy server. So I think it's really smart that EMC kind of started out with sort of the high-end environments where there's really a need for this. So think of like an Oracle application host, where there really isn't any time to back that data up, but you still need to have the ability to, for all the granularity of recovery that backup offers. So, in short, what it's really giving people is the ability to have the speed and the data consistency of snapshotting with all the functionality around backup, and then kind of reducing all that middleman architecture, so to speak. So I agree with George. I think it's going to be a game changer for a lot of companies.
Colm, wasn't there some specific products, though, initially, that this would work on? We should probably clarify exactly what you got to have to take advantage of this from day one, because it's not everything in the planet.
That's right. Yeah, the first iteration is going to be supported on their VMAX 3, which is their new, high-end storage subsystem, and Oracle application environments. So those are the two that is generally available for people to use. And then going forward, we can expect to see support for the mid-range in the EMC line, which is VNX. And then I'm sure there'll be other applications out there that will also fall in line. But that initially is what's going to be supported.
Eric?
I'm glad George brought up the serverless backup. I mean, boy, there's a deja vu all over again, that kind of statement. I mean, this really made sense a decade ago when everyone was falling in love with storage consolidation and SANs. It still makes sense today. We've reduced the data sets with dedupe, in the backup environment. Data domain certainly knows how to do that, right? So why not add some intelligence on how we move that data? I think it's a natural.
And finally, on the briefing calendar, OCZ. Eric, you've done a lot of work with them. What did they brief you on, and what do you think?
They introduced a second generation of their SQL Accelerator product. This is called the ZDXL SQL Accelerator 1.5. Almost exactly a year ago, they rolled out 1.0 of this product. And, this is an upgrade to really an application-specific PCIe flashcard that's designed to speed up database environments. It's really more than just application awareness. I think, the original product let users create a flash volume on the card in addition to a flash cache, which could be used for pinning critical metadata such as logs or tempdb files in flash. They also introduced some software technologies that improved cache hit ratios using both real-time decision making and a pre-warming process. The 1.5 version that they just rolled out adds support for SQL Server 2014 and its buffer pool extension service, and it also supports VMware and Hyper-V and enables SQL Server to function in a blade server environment by allowing these blade servers to connect to larger server in the environment that's actually physically running the PCIe cards.
Colm, any thoughts?
Well, I mean, I think it's smart that they're really focusing specifically on the SQL application use case. And I say that because there's so many choices out there that IT buyers and decision makers have to make. And at least, honing in on an area that someone can say, well, I've got a lot of SQL in my environment and I need something that's tuned to that, sort of helps kind of thin out the playing field, so to speak. And now, that Toshiba's behind them, those same IT buyers can be, very confident that, this technology is going to be around for the long haul. So there, some of the concerns that might have been there in the past have pretty much gone away in that regard.
George?
I remember when this product first came out, Eric, was it about a year ago or so?
Yeah, almost exactly a year ago.
Yeah, and I remember my first comment to Eric was, this thing is crazy expensive. They're not going to sell any. And every so often, as an analyst, you're wrong. They've done really well with this product, and apparently it really solves a problem that SQL administrators are having. So it's good to see them stick to their guns, and and continue to improve the product. And I think that's an area that they'll continue to be successful in.
Well, that does it for this week. A few things to look forward to next week. We have briefings with Oracle about the Greenbytes acquisition. And we have another podcast coming up with our special guest, HP, a briefing with Cashbox. And then we end the week with HGST. You guys have any thoughts on any of those events coming up?
Well, I guess, you know, the thing with the Oracle Greenbytes thing, that's we're gonna see if kind of our thoughts there are right. HP, we're going to be talking about data protection. They're really emphasizing their HP Data Protector product and the whole suite now. And it's good because that product has been around for a long time. It's reliable, and it's good to see them putting some resources behind it.
Charlie, we've also got a briefing write-ups on a new product from Dot Hill. That's a new disk array. We've got we had a briefing from SolidFire, which we can talk about, and also have a write-up on some news from Nimble Storage.
So coming up, George and Eric will be at the Flash Memory Summit in Santa Clara. So if you're going to be in the area, make sure you reach out to them. We'll be doing several podcasts from that event. So for now, I'm Charlie Hodges, and we'll talk to you next week on the Storage Wrap-Up.
For more, go to StorageSwiss.com.